Well, let's once again pause and ask the Lord to guide our time. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to you and your word this day. Amen. Well, there's a story told of a crime boss. He and his attorney went to visit his accountant. And the crime boss says to the accountant, "Where is the $3 million that you've embezzled from me?" And the accountant just stares at him blankly. And he says, "Where's my money?" Really aggressively. And again, there's no response. The attorney reminds the crime boss that the accountant is deaf. He said, "He can't hear you." He said, "Let me interpret for you." And so in sign language, he asks him where the money is. And of course, the accountant says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any money." Well, the crime boss is now really upset. He pulls out his gun, sticks it to the head of the accountant, and he says, "I want you to tell me where my blankety blank blank money is." And the accountant says, hold up. And so he signs to the attorney that the money is behind the shed in his backyard. The crime boss looks at the attorney and says, "What did he say?" The attorney says, "He said you don't have the guts to pull the trigger." You know, money can be a very divisive thing. Money has divided many marriages. Money has divided many business partnerships. Money has even divided local churches. There are some who, no matter what is going on in their life, they never seem to be able to have enough to make ends meet. And there are others, no matter how much excess they have, enough is never enough. They always want more. Money's divisive in relationships. It's even divisive in our own heart. Because the reality is, we need money to live in this world. And yet money can consume us and drive all that we think and all that we do. Somebody said, money's a great servant, but a horrible master. And this is so true. And so the question is, how do we handle money appropriately? As followers of Christ, is there any help for us? Well, there is. The Bible is very clear that money belongs to God, and we are stewards of that money. Right? He's entrusted money to us to use as managers, as stewards, not only to meet our own resources and needs, but also to be used as He directs us. Now, before I lose some people online who may be tuning in for the very first time and wondering, is this one of them churches that just asking for money? Let me just assure you, first of all, God does not ever coerce people into giving money, and we will not either. And secondly, very little of what I have to say today about money is about giving. What we want to do today is we want to look at what the book of Proverbs has to say to us about handling money, because we need to acquire wisdom in the handling of finances, not handling of money. And so I invite you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, our verse for today. And of course, we're going to be looking at many verses, and you're welcome to go through and look them all up as we go. I will read them, but I've given those to you here. You can look them up later if that works better for you. But our key verse today is Proverbs 3, verse 9. And it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce." Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, some of you might say, "Well, I'm not wealthy, so I guess that doesn't apply to me." Well, the reality is that wealth is a relative issue. You and I can always find somebody who has more than we do and who we would consider to be wealthy. But let me tell you, in this world, who, if you're watching, if you're here, if you're able to even watch, I can guarantee you there are far more people in this world who have less than you and I than those who have more. So in the reality of all the world, we're all wealthy. But this is not just even talking about wealthiness. It's talking about the resources we have. We want to honor the Lord with them. And that means more than just what we do with our money. That's part of it. But we want to talk today about how we get it. We want to honor the Lord in the way we get money. We want to honor the Lord in the way we see and view money. And we want to honor the Lord in the way we use money. And those are the three areas we want to talk about. The book of Proverbs addresses all of that for us and gives us biblical instruction in wise behavior in the handling of our money. And so, first of all, we need to be wise in how we get it. We want to honor the Lord in how we make money. And the first truth from this principle, how we get it, is we should acquire wealth through honest, hard work. Proverbs 10, verses 2 through 5 says this, ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. And then the next verse, Proverbs 13:11, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. What is all this saying to us? It's saying that laziness and ill-gotten gain do not profit, but honest diligence and hard work pay off. When we're willing to put in a hard day's work and we're willing to do what is before us and with honesty and hard labor, we're able to make what we need to make. God will supply. God will take care of us. We may not have everything we want, and this is where we oftentimes get ourselves in trouble. We can't discern the difference between what we want and what we need. And so we get it confused, and God has never promised to give us everything we want. But he has promised to give us everything we need. And so we see this principle that we should acquire wealth through honest hard work, not through laziness or ill-gotten gain. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is the poor who walks in integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. In God's economy, it's better to be poor with integrity than to be rich and crooked. God sees more than what we have or what he wants to give us. He looks into our heart and he's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for integrity within us. So we should acquire wealth through honest, hard work. Secondly, we should not pursue wealth as an end goal. 28:20-22 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. Wealth does not ultimately satisfy. It will leave you wanting more and more and more. If that's the end goal. And again, our culture has in many ways promoted this message that it's about what you have, it's about what you can get, how much you can make, and what you can buy with that. Right? He who dies with the most toys wins is the motto. I like the motto, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And you can't take it with you, right? And so Proverbs 23:4-5 says, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Wealth is very elusive. Again, as I said, those who go after wealth, no matter how much they have, they always want more. There's never enough. I remember years ago when my father was still living and he made the move to Virginia and began working for a contractor down there. He said this man had all kinds of money. Every day He would come home from work and he would turn on his computer and he'd watch his money every night to see what it was doing and what was happening. And he had way more than he needed. And it consumed him. He said he was one of the most bitter individuals he'd ever known. Because enough is never enough. When that becomes the pursuit of our life, it becomes a master over us. And wealth is very elusive. So what should we be going after? Well, you go back to chapter 28, verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings. Faithfulness, both to the Lord and to other people. A faithfulness within us is a great goal to go after. And blessings abound, the Scripture says. It may not always be financial blessings, but blessings. When you're a faithful person, faithful in relationships, the blessing of good relationships far outweighs a rich bank account, but nobody to share it with, nobody to enjoy it with. Faithfulness to the Lord and our walk with Him allows us to sleep at night, allows us to know that we are on the path that we've been created to walk. And then Proverbs 22:16 says, he who oppresses the poor to make much for himself or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. When that becomes the driving force and we oppress the poor so we can make more and we give to the rich so we can get favors from them, it says it only leads to poverty in the end. Certainly poverty of spirit, but maybe even poverty financially. You know, when we're seeing in our world today, just with all the craziness that's going on with racial things and everything, that even on the left side, they're bickering with one another, and they're because one's not left enough, and so then they alienate that person. And then, you know, and I heard a story about a mayor in one of the cities that he would not condemn the riots that were going on. And he was trying to tell the police not to go after them until they came and vandalized his own house. And for about a week, he was telling the police, don't mess with them, until he got fed up with it. And he says, go arrest them all. This is the kind of thing that happens. It all backfires on each other. It's craziness. When we're going after the wrong stuff, it leads to craziness. And that's the way it is with wealth. We go after wealth. Wealth, money was never an end in itself by God's design. It was a tool to be used. And so we don't pursue it as an end goal. So we need to be wise in how we get it. Secondly, we need to be wise in how we see it, how we view it, how we understand it, and the perspective we keep with it. The first truth, we should not put our trust in our wealth. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. In Proverbs 18:10-11, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runs into it and is safe. And the next verse says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. What I get from that is, first of all, money can give a false sense of security. We think if we got enough, it'll give us security. But it's a false sense of security, because that money could be gone like that. It fades away. It gets stolen. It gets taken away by the market. It gives a false sense of security. We all experience this at times, right? We think, well, do I have enough in my 401k? Do I have enough set aside? As we get older and we know that our years of being able to generate income is getting less and less, and we look and we say, I don't got enough in there for when I can no longer generate income, and we begin to feel a sense of anxiety and all of that, and we wonder. And then we start to trust in our ability and our amount, our bank account, and we need to be reminded this is not where our trust needs to be. It's it's a strong city, a high wall in our own imagination. We need to trust the Lord. And then Proverbs 20:11, the rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor man who has understanding sees through it. Not only does money can give a false sense of security, money can give a false sense of wisdom. When you got a lot of money, you think that you're really smart, you're wise in your own eyes. And so we need to be careful that because we are maybe successful in generating money or have the kind of career that generates a lot of income, that doesn't mean you're wise in every area of life. So we need to be careful of that. It reminds me of the story Jesus told in Luke chapter 12 about the farmer who had a great crop, and so he tore down the barns and built bigger ones. And he said, okay, now I can sit back and take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And then Jesus said, and his life was required of him because he was not generous toward God. He didn't honor God with what he had. And so it was taken away. We got to be careful that we don't put our trust in our wealth. Secondly, we should be content with what we have. We should be content with what we have. Proverbs 30:8-9 talk about these two extremes. It says, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. It says, feed me with the food that's my portion. Help me to be okay with what I have, so that I don't go off on these extremes. And then in the New Testament, we see in Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13, it says, Paul writes and says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along in humble means, but I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry, both of having abundance and also suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's an issue of learning contentment with where we are, with what we have, so that if God blesses with more, we know how to handle that. If God allows our life to be a little leaner, we can handle that. We know how to operate when there's not a lot there. We know how to operate in a way that honors God when we have an abundance. Contentment is critical in how we handle and see money. And it will always be something we've got to work at. Because again, the message that we're getting in the world in which we live is so contrary to the Bible and to these pieces of wisdom. So we need to be wise in how we see it. Thirdly, we need to be wise in how we use it. What do we do with money? Well, there are five things you can do with money. You can give it, spend it, reduce debt, save it, or pay bills. Those are five things we can do with money. The book of Proverbs speaks to these five areas and tells us how to give it, how to spend it, how to reduce debt. So let's look at these five areas. One, give it graciously. Proverbs 14:20-21 says, the poor is hated even by his neighbor. Those who love the rich are many. We looked at that when we talked about friendship. How, man, people flock, want to be friends with people who have money and have influence. He says, but he who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. Proverbs 19:17, he who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord and will repay him for his good deed. When we graciously give, Out of the abundance that God has blessed us with, we find it says happiness. We honor the Lord. And God repays us for our good deeds. Proverbs 21:13 says, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also himself will cry himself and not be answered. When we shut our ears to the needs of others, then we will not be heard. Now, I don't know if that's God saying, I'm not going to listen to you, or if it's just a principle of life that if you're not kind and generous, and when you come a need, nobody will be kind and generous to you. But we need to know there is a principle at work in our world. You reap what you sow. Right? You sow stinginess, you will reap stinginess. You sow generosity and grace and kindness, you will reap generosity, grace, and kindness. We see the Proverbs 31 woman, right? This example for us all in Proverbs 31:20. She extends her hands to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. In many ways, she is the personification of wisdom. Kind and gracious. And so, you know, when it comes to giving, again, as I said before, God is not coercing anyone to give. God invites us to participate in His work, and part of that is how we give. But He says, I want you to give willingly out of an abundance of joy that you have because of your relationship with me. And if you can't do that, keep your money. God doesn't need our money. And more importantly than our money, He wants our heart. And if He can't have our heart, then what good is the money? He doesn't need it. But He says, I want you to have the joy of participating in what I'm doing in this world. And because this world uses money, I want to take some of what I've blessed you with. And if you will give it to me, I will use it. And so what do? We give it graciously or generously as God leads us because we want to honor Him. Well, secondly, we can spend it, and we are called to spend it wisely. Proverbs 31:16. Again, the Proverbs 31 woman, the personification of wisdom, verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She considers what to do with her earnings. She thinks about it. She ponders it. She looks at all of this and determines whether this would be a good investment or not, a good use of these resources. One thing we need to be careful of is compulsive buying. Right? I mean, advertisers, they know how we operate. They know our fleshly nature. They know that if they can present something really, really good in front of us, man, they might just get us to compulsively buy that. And I don't know about you, but I feel that. Anytime I'm watching TV and there's a commercial on, an infomercial or something, man, they don't make it look like you don't need it. Right? They make you think you need this and want this so badly. It's going to make your life so much better. There's something inside of us that thinks, maybe this will do the trick. Maybe this will make me feel better about myself. Maybe this will make my car look better. Maybe this will, whatever. I could have just eaten a big steak dinner, and then I turn the TV on and see a commercial for this juicy burger somewhere, and I'm like, Bob, why am I hungry again? Right? For a burger. Because that's what advertisers do, and we need to be very, very careful that we do not compulsively buy things. We need to think it through. We need to consider all the options. We need to pray about it, talk to our spouse if we're married, and we need to work through those things. So we need to spend it wisely. There's nothing wrong with spending our money. That's one of the things we do with it. God has entrusted it to us to spend it. We want to be wise in how we do that. I remember when we were in college, Valerie has had to kind of talk me down on a lot of these things. I see if I'm infomercial, I'm like, man, I really need that. That would be really great to have. And she's like, nah, it wouldn't. You know. And But there was this, you know, we're in college, or in a little apartment, you know, in college, newly married, and this infomercial comes on for this little grill, okay? That's what it's billed as. Basically, it was a metal can with holes in it with a grill top on top. And you actually burned paper in it. You can grill with just paper inside. I'm like, we can do this. You know, it's only $39.99 or whatever. And she finally gave in and let me buy it. Man, it did great for hot dogs. But you couldn't do anything else because the flame would burn out before you cooked anything else on it. And I had to put more paper just to cook a hamburger on it. You know? And it's just like, I needed it so bad. It was going to make our life so much better. Of course, she was like, she never even liked me cooking on it because she was like, I don't think you should have bought the thing. But anyway, I don't know where it is. I think we gave it away at some point, right? I think I kept it for a while. It's like, yeah, this is good stuff. You know, so we need to be wise. Thirdly, reduce debt. We need to reduce it quickly. Because Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. When we're in debt, we are, in a sense, a slave to the creditor. And so we need to know that. We need to think through that. There's a difference between going into debt to purchase something that has value and will continue to have value, and then if you have to sell that thing, you can pay off that debt. For example, buying a home, right? Most people can't afford to buy a home. They need to borrow money to do that. But you have an equity in that home that if you got to the point where you couldn't pay that, you could sell it and pay that off. Consumer debt is crippling to people. When you just keep buying more and more and put it on credit and they don't have the money to pay for it, and they don't have the ability and the patience to wait till they can save up enough money to buy it, it is difficult because you're under that pressure constantly. And then when you say to the Lord, God, you know, I know my money belongs to you. I want to use it however I want. And then the God says, I want you to give to this need over here. And you say, I can't because I'm in debt. And I've got this huge debt that I've got to keep paying on every month. And it straps me to be able to be free to serve the Lord as I want to. Again, not as God compulsion, but because I want to be part of this. And that debt restricts us. Debt holds us back. So we have to be very, very careful in these issues. And so when we find ourselves in this place, we ought to work very hard to reduce that debt as quickly as possible so that we're not enslaved to these things. And then fourthly, we can save it. And we ought to save it diligently. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, and we looked at this many weeks ago when we were in chapter 6, but it says, go to the Anno sluggard and observe her ways and be wise, having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. The idea here is that the ant gathers and saves up when there's food to be had for a time when the food was no longer available. And the principle is, for us, there is a time in our life when we are generating income and we're able to do that, but there will be a time for many people as we get older that we will not be able to do that anymore. Maybe our bodies will not allow us to go and make the kind of income that will support our family. And so we save for the future. It's wise to do that, to be diligent about saving that. The hard thing about retirement from a job is that, again, we struggle with, do I have enough? How much is enough? You know, I mean, do I have to get $1 million? How much is enough? And what kind of lifestyle, right, would God have me to live? These are all hard questions to wrestle with as we're thinking through that. It's important that we save for the future. Save for the things we need in the near future. Save for the far future. But we cannot be stingy with what God has entrusted to us to the point where we're never generous and gracious along the way. So it's a hard balance, and every one of us has to struggle with that and work that out before God. But I lay that out before you because we are called to save diligently. And then lastly, pay bills. And we need to pay bills willingly. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. And we've looked at that verse a couple different times in different ways, but here's an issue of you owe somebody something. And you need to pay that. And we ought to be willing to pay that. Listen, if you have a bill, it's because you bought something, because you did something to get that bill, right? To get that payment. And so we ought to pay it. It's what we owe. So we ought to be willing to do that. And even taxes. Because in Romans 13, 6 and 7, we're told, as we're talking about governing authority, as Paul's talking about this, he says, because of this, because of the fact that the governing authority is there for our good, should be for our good, and that it punishes those who disobey, it says, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing, render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, you and I can argue over whether or not the taxes are fair, okay? We can debate that all day long. But there is a place for us to pay our fair share. We ought to be willing to do that. As followers of Christ, that's our responsibility. And so, these are the five things we can do with money. We can give it, but we ought to give it graciously. We can spend it, we ought to spend it wisely. We can reduce debt, we ought to reduce it quickly. We can save it, and we ought to save it diligently. And we can pay bills, and we ought to do it willingly. Because we have that responsibility, and we ought to be people who keep our responsibility. We should never have a reputation as followers of Christ of being stingy, late on our bills, all those things that should not characterize a follower of Christ who has yielded their life to Jesus. So, the Bible gives us a lot of information. This is just the book of Proverbs. All throughout the Bible, we're given principles of handling money, and we want to handle it in a way that honors the Lord. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your instruction. Money's always a hard thing. It's a hard thing for us to think about. It's a hard thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to manage at times because, again, it's such a divisive issue for us. Our hearts are divided at times. We don't always know the right amount in every area. Sometimes we struggle with how much should we give away, how much should we save, how much should we spend on ourselves, how much, and there's always that struggle. But Lord, ultimately, we've got to entrust that to you. Because you're the Lord. You're the King. We live under you and under your authority. And all that we have belongs to you, and we are managers, stewards, and so we want to live by biblical principles. And Lord, I pray that these truths that we've looked at today will be of help to us as we think through how we get money, how we view money, how we use money. Help us, Lord, so that you might be honored in this area in our life. We'll thank you for your word and the truth it gives us. In Jesus' name, amen.